was swung and everything went word in Nigel's head. He fell down to the pavement and the people looked and cared. Roger couldn't move and all you could taste was greasy hair.
Hello everyone. May I have everyone's attention, please? Is this one on? I might have to talk a little bit closer. Okay, hello everyone. Good afternoon. I'd like to thank everyone today for coming to this event. My name is Sonia Horty, and I'm one of two loaned representatives from the University of British Columbia working for the United Way. And what this means is I get to take a break from my original job of working in research and get to work with United Way for 4 months and help out on their programs and attend events like this. So everyone sees the signs around for the United Way, but I want to ask how many people actually know what the three key impact areas are for the United Way? Just by show of hands, can anyone tell me what the three focuses in the Lower Mainland? Not my team, that's cheating. Anyone else? You can yell it out. How many times do you have to yell in a library? Anyone? Seniors, yes, excellent. So one of the impact areas is seniors. So in the Lower Mainland, there are one in four seniors are living alone. And that actually equates to 1 in 10 seniors actually spending their final years alone living in social isolation. Does anyone else have another one of our impact areas? We've got one. There's two more. Excellent, child poverty. A little bit of a cheat with the flag over there, but one in five children in the Lower Mainland live in poverty. So could you imagine as a parent not being able to provide for your children? And finally, we have one more area. Anyone else? Bullying, fantastic. Thank you very much. So in the Lower Mainland, 1 in 3 children are affected directly by bullying. Everyone's opened up newspapers and heard the tragic stories of Amanda Todd and other, and what can happen when a bullying goes unchecked. Based on research that's been performed right here at UBC in the Lower Mainland, these focus areas are what the United Way has chosen to champion. Currently, we're in our 5th week of our campaign, and we're only at 35% of our goal, so I encourage you all to give. On your tables, you'll find pledge forms. If you take a few minutes to give what you can, even $5, $10 a paycheck, whatever it may take, it can make a huge impact in our community. And as an added bonus, Air Canada has actually kindly donated 2 airfare tickets to anywhere in North America, including Hawaii, if you do a payroll pledge. So it's more incentive to actually fill out those forms. And also, if you fill out and give through payroll pledge, you actually have the opportunity of having your tax receipt right on your T4. And they'll also, there's donation cans on the table, and there'll also be a little bit of a tracking on how to donate online after the event. Just a few housekeeping items. I know everyone's anxious to get started here. Later on in our program, while the results of the spelling bee are being tallied up, we will have a speaker, Jacob Enns, a little bit nervous, come in and give you a short story about why he chooses to donate to the United Way. So let's get on with the show. Everyone looks like they're ready to spell. So I'd like to introduce our wonderful returning MC, the acting head of humanities and social science of Corner Library, Trish Rossell. Trish?
I'm better not moving with the microphone. Welcome to the 4th annual Spelling Bee, everyone. This is very exciting. I'm very happy to be back as the MC. This is a highlight for me, standing here watching you spell. I tell people outside of work, this is like my favorite gig of all time. And I'm very pleased to serve as the MC of this event to support a cause, the United Way, which I really believe in strongly, and to which I contribute annually through the payroll plan. I love the idea that I'm in a draw for Hawaii tickets. I didn't even know that was a benefit, and I'm excited. We have lots of returning teams this year. We have a couple of new teams this year. We have teams that have thrived in other events like the pancake race, and it's going to be exciting. And one of the other things that's really exciting this year is that today's event is being live broadcast by CITR, UBC's Alternative Programming Radio. And for those of you who may not be familiar with CITR, it's a campus-based community station broadcasting to over, I had no idea, 2 million listeners from Bellingham, Washington to Squamish. And so we welcome everyone following along on the radio station, and we're really excited about this new partnership. And so now just a reminder about the logistics of the bee, getting down to brass tacks. There are 4 rounds of 5 words each, for those of you who may not be familiar. About 30 seconds are allowed for you to work on each word. You work together at your table with your team. And your teams self-mark your spelling at the end of each round. And at the end of all 4 rounds, those sheets will be collected and reviewed to determine a winner. And if there's a tie, we do have a sudden death tiebreaker. And I just want to let you know, we did have to move to this last year, and the winning word was whippoorwill. So we have that if we need to go to it. One other thing I'll mention, no devices are to be used in this bee. And so with those logistics set out, on with the show. So, round 1. The first word, we're going to start things off with misspell. It's a verb, to spell a word or name incorrectly. Misspell seems like a fitting word with which to begin a spelling word, a spelling bee, misspell.
All right, we see a lot of furrowed brows here, but I don't think anyone's too challenged by that first word, misspell.
Misspell the first of 5 words in the first round.
It'd probably be really tricky to actually misspell. I think it's an easy starter. I don't know if
and
we
there
should.
And there may be some jokers misspelling misspell for the for the heck of it.
I don't know. I don't know if anyone's willing to throw this one just for a joke.
That's true. People, they have their game faces on here in the library.
It is very serious. It's tempting.
If you want to lay down your answer there, we're going to move on to word number two, which is minuscule, an adjective meaning very small or tiny. Used in a sentence, Senator Colin Kennedy believes that our minuscule Navy leaves Canadians vulnerable.
All right,
the origin is French from Latin, minuscule.
A little more challenging than misspell, I think. I'm tempted to give it a go myself, but I don't know. We might be in earshot of some of the tables here, so I don't want to.
We don't want to trick anyone.
Give anyone an unfair benefit, or knowing my spelling, maybe not quite a benefit, but.
Minuscule, French origin. Interesting.
From Latin.
From Latin.
Aren't they
a very long word for such a small, for what it signifies.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on to word three. Prerogative, which is a noun defined as a right or privilege, especially a special right or privilege that some people have. In a sentence, it is the spelling BMC's prerogative to decide on the difficulty of the words to be spelled. Prerogative.
That's a good one. Definitely, I think one of our teammates, John Koo, is probably familiar with this one. I know he has a special spot in his heart for the song My Prerogative by Bobby Brown, I believe. Was that him that sang it at our karaoke? I think it might have been. So
maybe.
I feel like at least he'll have recently written this one down on his karaoke sign-up sheet. But definitely that Bobby Brown song is really coming to mind right now.
My Prerogative.
I think it threw my perception of the meaning of that word a little bit off as a child hearing that song. I don't think I quite got it.
Is it P-R-P-E?
Okay, moving on to the fourth word. The fourth word is cemetery, which is a noun, a place where dead people are buried, a burial ground. In a sentence, Mountain View Cemetery opened in 1887, making it the oldest cemetery in Vancouver. From Latin and Greek.
Things take a turn for the dark with the word cemetery.
Well, it's interesting to see how varied the difficulty levels of these words just within this first round. We're kind of all over the place as far as length and the complicatedness. But our team is looking strong over here. We've got station manager Brenda Gruneau, Duncan from Duncan's Donuts. We've got Andy Resto, our digital library coordinator, and John Koo of Cue It Up. And we've also got Jenna Earnshaw, who's our outreach coordinator. So it's a pretty serious team on the CITR front here.
CITR spellcasters look like they're casting
up. Okay, and moving
now
on to the final word of round one. There's a lot of intensity around some tables, some laughter. The last word is tchotchkes. This is a noun.
Tchotchkes?
Defined as knickknacks, trinkets. In a sentence, the holiday season always prompts me to unearth the many tchotchkes from our family Christmas celebrations and put them around my house. It's Yiddish, tchotchkes.
Tchotchkes, is that it?
Tchotchkes.
Tchotchkes, from Yiddish.
It's funny to use the Yiddish word in a sentence about Christmas ornaments, but I guess we got the gist of it there.
Yeah.
I had a request for one more articulation of the word. The word is tchotchkes.
Tchotchkes.
Tchotchkes. I got to be honest, I didn't even totally know that was an actual word.
Yeah, they went for a real tough one here to finish off round one. People thought they gave them an easy one with cemetery just to give them another tricky C word.
That's right. I think that Yiddish words are always going to be a tough spelling for sure. For me, anyways, I'm not that familiar.
Okay, so now we will move on to reviewing the correct spelling for round one words. Any table not ready to move on yet? Countdown, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. That's it. Here we go.
No. That's ridiculous.
Misspell. Oh, Some winners, some missers here, I'm seeing.
So we've got the spelling of misspell up on the
word
board
number
here.
Two.
It's M-I-S-S-P-E-L-L. And minuscule is up here. M-I-N-U-S-C-U-L-E.
Oh, yeah, minuscule.
Word number three.
French.
Minus.
Prerogative. Oh, that there's some
PR.
Victory out there. I can see it.
Prerogative's a really tricky one. Yeah, it's P-R-E-R-O-G-A-T-I-V-E.
Word number four, cemetery.
All right, cemetery.
Oh, thumbs up at the library exec spell checker table.
C-E-M-E-T-E-R-Y. Looks like some of the teams misspelled cemetery, which looked like a gimme, but you never know with these tricky words on the spelling bee here. All right, now the one that
and
everyone wants
word
to
number
know
five.
How to spell.
Tchotchkes. Oh,
wow. Yeah, that was a tricky one. So it's T-C-H-O-T-C-H. K-E-S.
We have had a query up in the front table
the
from WeCount. There are different spellings of tchotchkes. Because of the nature of this wonderful group, I have consulted various sources for the word list. All of these proper spellings, most recent spellings I've utilized, are from the Oxford English Dictionary, which although in the past it was spelled with an A, in it and Merriam-Webster, it's tchotchkes with an O.
A little bit of debate here, though, whether
I'm told I need to consult Dictionary Smictionary. I'll do that next time. We're going to go on to round two.
That was tchotchkes. Really a challenging way to end. First round.
Round two coming up. After
okay,
tchotchkes.
Round two. First word. The word is maelstrom. It's a noun. The definition, a situation in which there are a lot of confused activities and emotions. A dangerous area of water that moves very fast in a circle. In a sentence, I wonder how long we'll be subject to the maelstrom of emotions and accusations churned up by Rob Ford's recent behavior. The origin is Dutch.
So maelstrom. Dutch always a tricky language.
Yes, we had a great Dutch volunteer at CITR.
We did, yeah, Caroline. She helped us out with a lot of the reviews in the music department. Just
would
great,
have helped us out with this
music.
Word
she,
right here.
She probably would have, yeah. So this is a tricky one. It's got one of those weird AE combos that you might not expect.
How do you pronounce it?
Maelstrom.
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 Okay. I sense a quiet in the room before our 30 seconds, so we'll move on to word two. Enophile. It's a noun. In a sentence, an enophile may question New Zealand winemaker Kim Crawford's recent decision to release wine-infused popcorn. The origin is French, enophile.
That's really a hard one. I can't even...
I have no idea, but I'm very intrigued by this wine-infused popcorn that our MC talked about.
Yeah, I think she's throwing us a little with some of these statements are a little bit topical or... distracting, I think.
Yeah. Enophile? Enophile? Well, I think it has to, like, a person who likes wine.
Yeah, that could be it.
I'm just wild guesses here.
Yeah, we're really just speculating. There's a reason that we're over here on the desk as opposed
okay,
to
word number three.
Participating.
Graupel. This is a noun defined as granular snow pellets. Called also soft hail. In a sentence, graupel forms when very cold water droplets coat snowflakes as they gather in clouds. It's German, graupel.
Graupel. I'm not sure. I think we have a little bit of German heritage on our team there, so that might...
Andy spent 2 years in Germany.
That's right. So we might be a little bit ahead there with Andy Resto, who... actually speaks in Russian as well.
Really?
I think so, yeah.
That's a very hard language, I imagine.
He's got a number of languages, so graupel is kind of a new one for me. I don't know.
Yeah, I studied German for quite a while and never came across that word.
Well, it's got to be an English word, right? Because
that's
we're
true.
At a spelling bee, so hopefully they're not just throwing languages of the world at us, but
okay, word four.
German origin.
Efflorescence. It's a noun. Definition, the action or process of developing and unfolding as if coming into flower, blossoming. In a sentence, a recent New York Times article cited the band Yes's most fertile period as an efflorescence of post-Beatles psychedelic rock. Efflorescence, French.
We got a little music reference in our description.
Yep. They got creative with the sentences. We're using these in here, so keeping things interesting. But efflorescence, which, like she said, means to flower out in French. Mm. So
is it pH?
In chemistry. I believe if there's a double F for this one. And
darn it. All right, looks...
Okay, I've had a request to repeat. The word is efflorescence.
Is that word number three?
I think we're at word number three, yeah.
Word number three, we're almost reaching the halfway point here at the spelling bee. Tensions are high. The smell of sweat and nervousness
permeates the air. Okay, the final word in round two. From Italian, I say that early. Appoggiatura.
Holy smokes.
Definition: an embellishing note or tone preceding an essential melodic note or tone, and usually written as a note of a smaller size. In a sentence, an appoggiatura can cause a reaction in people's brains that is instrumental in making a song sad. Appoggiatura.
Wow, so it sounds like it might be related to arpeggio, maybe not. I'm not sure if it's hard to tell if there was an R in that first syllable there.
The spelling bee is definitely taking it to the next level with this question.
Yeah.
This word, excuse me. From Italian.
It's Italian, yeah. It's nice to have another music reference here.
Yes.
Hopefully our very knowledgeable staff, who are a bunch of music lovers. Brenda Grenard, station manager. She plays the oboe, so...
I've had a request to articulate the word again. The word is appoggiatura.
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 Oh, if we had... give them the boot host of our Italian music show.
That's
maybe
right.
Maybe we could get some help.
Don't you speak Portuguese? Is there some similarity? Or
I do, but that word, I don't think I know it in Portuguese either.
All right.
Okay, I've had a number of requests winding up round three. One was the definition of appoggiatura. It's an embellishing note or tone preceding an essential melodic note or tone, and usually written as a note of smaller size. The other word I've been asked to repeat is word three, which is graupel.
So people still struggling with graupel, and I don't blame them for struggling with appoggiatura.
Appoggiatura.
So now the countdown begins. Five,
language.
Four, three, two, one. Ooh, pen's down. All right, so here we go with correct spellings for round two words. Maelstrom.
For those of you following along at home, that's M-A-E-L.
There is victory abounding around this room.
Excellent. Maelstrom.
Word two, enophile.
Tricky one here. O-E-N-O-P-H-I-L-E.
The lexicons, the exoterics, there's excitement there. Oh,
enophile.
Up.
Looks like we're two for two so far, the spellcasters.
Graupel.
Wow.
Oh.
G-R-A-U-P-E-L.
Excellent.
Graupel.
Tricky.
So it's not seeing a lot of waves and thumbs up from CITR table this time.
Flying Panakukins experiencing a moral victory, I hear, over here. Word four, efflorescence.
Efflorescence, E-F-F-L-O-R-E-S-C-E-N-C-E,
and the last word?
Efflorescence.
Appoggiatura.
Appoggiatura.
Oh, show me the honey is reigning victorious in the center
that
of the room. Oh.
It looks like someone got that last one right. A-P-P-O-G-G-I-A-T-U-R-A.
Don't you just love those Italian words?
Still waiting for signal from the spellcasters to see how we did on that last round.
Okay,
round two.
So we're now going to move on to round three. Round three, first word, embarrass. It's a verb. defined to make someone feel confused and foolish in front of other people, to make a person, group, or government look foolish in public. In the sentence, the protest was staged as a deliberate attempt to embarrass the government. Origin is French. Embarrass.
Embarrass, a tricky spelling of that word. Some people might be embarrassed that they don't know how to spell it.
That would be embarrassing.
Quite. Quite. Really? It's spelled... Should we... No.
Go ahead.
It's spelled E-M-B-A-R-A-S-S.
Back table. Embarrass. Okay, now we'll go on to word two. The origin is unknown. It's what I love about this word. Foufarah.
Goodness.
It's a noun defined as frills and flashy finery, a disturbance or to do over a trifle, a fuss. In a sentence, the food isn't what you'd think in spite of all the foufarah about the restaurant being a long-standing award winner. Foufarah.
This is one of those ones that might come up in Scrabble, and you'd probably, it's questionable, I think. I don't know. I guess.
Foufarah.
Did she say she was going from the Oxford English Dictionary? Or
yes, yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, I guess it's a word. But
if you find this in Scrabble, it's a lucky round.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, be a good one.
Foufarah.
One more pronunciation of this word, foufarah.
So hopefully you're spelling along at home. And that one's a little challenging, so.
A little tricky.
Okay, word three. Gallimaufry. It's a noun defined as hodgepodge. In a sentence, the collection is a gallimaufry of poems, essays, and short stories that have no apparent unifying theme. The origin is Middle French. Gallimaufry.
That, I can't even begin that one, although there was recently an album by a Canadian artist that involved that name. And
really?
I feel like I should know it. I can't quite think of what the album was.
For those of you at home, maybe you can search it up.
You know, it actually was, the name of the band was Handsome Dan and his Gallimaufry.
Handsome Dan and his Gallimaufry.
One more time.
Probably a hodgepodge of people.
Gallimaufry.
That might be one where the word is as hard as its synonym.
Okay, moving on to word four. Word four is odontalgia, defined as a toothache. In a sentence, I recently experienced a typical odontalgia, which is characterized by prolonged periods of throbbing or burning pain in the teeth. I called my dentist. The origin is post-classical Latin. Odontalgia.
Odontalgia.
No, for those who,
for me.
For those who don't think toothache is enough.
That's right. Yep.
Post-classical Latin.
Where's our friend Dave the dentist when you need him? I bet he would know how to spell that. He's an annual supporter of CITR through our fund drive. Very generous man. He's also the dentist of more than one of the CITR staff. And he's an excellent dentist, Dr. David Thorburn, if you're listening. You're probably at work fixing somebody's I've already forgotten the word.
Odontology. Someone's toothache.
Fixing a toothache, basically.
Yeah, we keep it simple here.
Okay, and moving on to the last word of round three. This word has two pronunciations, so I'll give both. The first pronunciation is ritidome. The second pronunciation is rhytidome.
Sounds to me
defined
like
as
one
the
of
bark
those RH
external
words.
To the last formed periderm. The outer part of the bark composed of the periderm and the layers of dead tissue exterior to this. In a sentence, for many species, the diagnostic characters of the ritidome that determine bark patterns and types are only evident in older trees. Ritidome, Greek.
very challenging words in here. We're getting medical words. We're getting botanical words.
Yes.
We're getting, you know, German, Yiddish, all over the place, Dutch. So
they are they're really mixing it up here to challenge our spellcasters.
So again, right now we're spelling rhizoderm or rhizoderm, the outer bark on trees.
I did not know that.
I didn't know either.
I do now. I don't know if I'll remember it after the show.
We're learning so much today.
Yeah.
Pronunciations one more time. Rhizoderm or rhizoderm.
Not a lot of conversation and laughing among the tables spelling here as there was a moment ago. Things have really gotten serious with rhizoderm or rhizoderm.
People.
So now we'll
are putting their
count
heads
down.
Together.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Pens down. All right, correct spelling for round three words. Embarrass.
Embarrass, pretty easy one.
One for one for the spellcasters.
We've got it at CITR. It's
there is some disappointment around the room.
E-M-B-A-R-R-A-S-S. E-M-B-A-R-R-A-S-S.
The commonly misspelled words are difficult to bear. Word number two. Foofaraw. Oh, ho, ho.
So that was a tough one. Foofaraw. There's a bit of a foofaraw going on in the room.
There is excitement at some tables.
F-A-R-A-W.
Gallimaufry.
Gallimaufry. Gallimaufry.
Word four.
Looks of despair from
odontalgia.
Odontalgia here, a toothache. Odontalgia. Odontalgia.
Rhizoderm.
Also pronounced rhizoderm. R H Y T I D O M to the E. Rhizoderm. Coming on round four.
Looks like we got CITR's team, the spellcasters, scored one out of five in that round. I'm pretty sure it was embarrass. All right. Oh, we've got a bit of a reverse
CITR
situation.
CITR team is checking
here.
In the
going
radio.
From, three in the first round, two in the second,
reporting
two,
the true
one
scores
in the third.
Here. Okay, we're going to move into last round, round four. First word, manure. This is a noun defined as a single upright rough monolith, usually of prehistoric origin. In a sentence, the village girls still dance round the manure, dressed in white to celebrate May Day. This is French, manure.
Manure brings me back to my physical geography days, although it doesn't mean that I know how to spell it.
Did you study? Did you learn about manures?
I did learn about manures, I believe, in probably geography 119 or something. What's that?
Wow.
Physical geography.
Very
classic.
Cool.
But
I've been
no
asked
to spell
the word. I can't do that at this time. Just saying.
Some controversy in there.
Okay, so we'll go on to word two. The second word is olecranon. This is a noun defined as the process of the ulna projecting behind the elbow joint. In a sentence, my sister just reported that she has bursitis of the olecranon. It's Latin from Greek, olecranon.
Latin from Greek.
So these medical words are just really, I knew there was going to be some challenging words today, but this is beyond what I expected, definitely. Olecranon, Greek medical term for it's a large, thick, curved, bony eminence of the forearm that projects behind the elbow.
That is why it is so hard to get into med school.
Right, yeah.
You have to remember words like these.
I would have just called it your funny bone, probably.
Oh, yeah, even your humerus.
Yeah, that's right.
But olecranon could easily
be... Okay, moving on to the third word. The third word is hors d'oeuvre. It's a noun defined as a food served in small portions before the main part of a meal. In a sentence, My favorite hors d'oeuvre is smoked salmon. Origin French, hors d'oeuvre.
I think we may have an advantage here. We've got Brenda Greneau, and she's the host of Peanut Butter and Jams, our local food and local music show. And that's every second Thursday night. And she'll be on tomorrow night. That's at 6 o'clock, Peanut Butter and Jams. So hopefully our food expert knows how to spell hors d'oeuvres. Yeah, we look confident at the spellcaster's table there.
I've been asked if it's plural. This is singular, hors d'oeuvre.
A single hors d'oeuvre.
Interesting. I think that one's typically plural, but we'll usually see.
Just don't have one appy.
Okay, so now we'll move on to the fourth word.
I don't,
anyway. The fourth word is sarrusophone.
Wow.
This is a noun. Defined as a brass instrument of the oboe class, played with a double reed. In a sentence, the tone of the sarrusophone is less clear but much reedier than that of the saxophone.
Again,
origin
we're turning to
is Saras plus Greek, essentially. Sarrusophone.
So this one really tricky. I wouldn't even guess at it, but we're turning again to Brenda Greneau, our station manager, who's also an oboe player, as I mentioned earlier. So
maybe even of the sarrusophone oboe.
I'm not sure how familiar she is with the sarrusophone, but I hope she's got it. We're, to be honest, not looking very confident over there. There's sort of some heads looking around. We'll see.
I hear some.
There's a lot of laughter in that back table, Jadamuk. I can hear it. Okay, and now we're going to go on to the last word, unless there's a sudden death tiebreaker. Last word. Oidasika. This is a noun. The definition is any of several South American trees, especially a Brazilian tree, with seeds that yield a drying oil similar to tongue oil. In a sentence, some wood preservative is made with oidasika oil, a vegetable oil that is very thin and has extremely unusual penetrating power. The origin is Portuguese. Oidasika.
Well.
What do you think, Eric?
I am not sure, but I believe it is Oiticica. Oiticica, possibly.
Interesting guess.
I will ask my mother. When I get home.
Have you heard it before? Are you familiar with it?
I'm not familiar with that.
Sounds like a useful
tree.
Oil anyways.
Yeah. I do know quite a bit of the different trees and oils, but no way to seek.
Eric Coates here hosts the student special hour on Tuesdays. What time is that?
1 to 2 along with Eleanor.
And you are of a Brazilian origin?
Okay, so I'm going to count
my
down.
My mother is Brazilian.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Pens down for Oiticica, which sounds like a dance to me, but isn't. Okay, so correct spelling. Meneer.
Wow, that's different than I would have guessed. It's M-E-N-H-I-R. I was looking for a double E in that one.
Olecranon.
Olecranon.
There's a lot of sad sounds emanating from this room.
Olecranon. Latin.
What does this
from
mean
Greek.
Again? Olecranon. The process of the ulna projecting behind the elbow joint.
Funny bone.
This word is difficult.
For the commoners.
Hors d'oeuvre.
So looks like we got that CITR definitely. If there's one thing we know, it's hors d'oeuvre.
Some
so it's
H-O-R-S
space D apostrophe.
Fourth word.
O-E-U-V.
Sarrusophone.
E.
You know you want to play one.
Yes.
Sarrusophone.
Not looking good at the CITR table, but it's
Sarrusophone.
Oh, I did get Oiticica right. It's...
I've been told that's mean. This is the last word in a four-round spelling bee, people. Oiticica.
I believe when you said it, you may have put an E in there.
Okay, so thank you very much. That was a lot of fun.
Possibly.
So what's going to happen now is we'll just need you to quickly tally one sheet, and if you could just hold that in the air, Karen and Harry will walk around to collect them, and we'll just review them to determine a winner and or whether a sudden death tiebreaker is necessary. And during that time, Jacob will be coming, I think, to talk about the United Way, so they'll just tell you more about that.
Again, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. We're out here at UBC and at the Spelling
Hall. Hello. Hello, everyone. How are y'all doing? Can you hear me? Can you hear me back there?
Yes, we can.
All right. Oh, I was running across campus after parking. So I'm Jacob Enns, United Way sponsored rep through Tech Resources. And I want to tell you a story. But first, how many have parents? Okay. How many of our parents are getting older? Okay, they're all getting older, but some of them are getting older. Yeah, there you go. So here, I'm here to tell you a story. I'm going to tell you a story about Ben. I met Ben when I was working as a nurse's aide. I was first met him when I was helping him get dressed and shave. His request was that it be a close shave and his best shirt because family was coming over. And he wanted to look his very best. Well, Ben was wheeled over. I took him over to where the visiting area was. When I got back a little while later, he was still alone. When I eventually took him back to his room, he was pretty lonely, pretty sad. See, this was a pattern that developed over the next few months. I'd get him dressed, and I'd get him shaved, and his family wouldn't show up. After a while, I got to know Ben quite well because we talk. I found out that he had a lot of experiences in life. He was he loved riding motorcycles. He loved exploring. He loved traveling. We had that in common. We liked to go around the next corner on two wheels, find out what was there. He was pretty gracious about the fact that he rode a Triumph back then, and I rode a Honda. But he was pretty kind about that. But when his motorcycle days were over, he had a fall and he broke a hip. So he started using a walker. And that was hard for him to get around. But then he was put into the extended care facility. That was even harder. And pretty soon, he was actually just in a wheelchair. That's where he was when I met him. But as we talked, I find out a lot about this man. He loved the ocean. He loved walking along the breakwater, the beach. He loved, when he rode motorcycle, he loved island hopping with it and going around exploring. But over the months, as family didn't come, friends didn't come, he got quite depressed. And I got frustrated. There was never enough time to actually spend with him to really talk about what his story, where it was. So when Ben got sick, something with his lungs, he had asked for a no resuscitation order. So at the end, I was given a shift change so I could sit with him. As I sat there, I was sad, frustrated, and lonely. Well, I could feel how what it must be like for him. His breaths would get farther and farther apart, and I'd wonder if this is the end. I know this is a little bit heavy, but this is the reality of some people. And as the breasts would get farther and farther, it just seemed like it was harder for him to hold on. And I wondered when that end would come. And after a while, all I felt inside was just a sadness that here was a man whose life had been rich and full and vibrant. And I wondered where his community was, wondered where his friends were, wondered where his family was. How can one become so isolated that the only one who's witnessing his end, his passing, was someone who helped him shave, get dressed? So that's the question I had in my heart, you know, like, where's his community? We all want our family to be connected. We all want our seniors to be vibrant and healthy. This is why I'm a leadership donor at United Way. Because they are doing something about it. They're actually going out and finding these lonely seniors and making sure that they're connected to the community. They actually go out and make sure that there's volunteers to go into homes to make sure that there's someone, a way to be connected to a community. Because we all want our those who have looked after us when we were young, we want their lives to be rich. So I know it's a little bit heavier, but I want to thank you for making that difference. Because, you know, when seniors stay at home, when they're connected to the community, they smile more, they laugh more, they live longer, they're happier. And that's really what it's all about. So we want to thank you for helping make that happen by what you're doing here today. So thank you for your time.
And we have a tiebreaker. So what happens in the tiebreaker protocol is that each team will select an individual to represent their team, and it goes into, you know, primary school spelling bee mode, folks. Those two people will be asked to come up to the mic and spell their respective words. So the two teams are... The Lexicons. Well done, well done. And Show Me the Honey. The Lexicons and Show Me the Honey. So I'll give you a moment to select your speller, and then if your speller could make their way to the front of the room.
So CITR
and I think
not in on this.
Out of interest's sake, we've had some calls, some queries. These teams got 13 out of 20 words. Pretty impressive. It was a hard slot. So can I have a speller from each team, please?
That's very impressive. The report is that CITR's score is 6 out of 20. So we spelled
almost
6 correct out of 20.
Go spellers, go spellers.
The Lexicons and the Give Me the Honey. But they're kicking it old school here.
Yeah.
Bringing it back to elementary school.
This is the part that can be a bit unnerving, people. Let's give our spellers one more round of applause of encouragement. So we have Herbert from the Lexicons. Did you want to flip a coin? Maybe we should do a coin toss. Hold on 1 minute. I need a coin.
So we're finding a coin here, and it looks like we're going to take this tiebreaker verbally, so they're not writing it down this time.
That's right. Okay. Heads or tails? And we'll do heads is first. And you've chosen heads. And that would be, I haven't done this for a long time, tails. So, Herbert, you're up. All right, so I'll just read the word aloud here. is that, okay, thank you. So the first word for Herbert is Tretaceous. It's an adjective defined as related to the trout. In a sentence, the Tretaceous fishes are divided into two tribes, and the origin is Latin, Tretaceous.
Tretaceous. TRETACEIOUS.
Good job there.
Herbert, I'm sorry, that is incorrect. The correct spelling for Tretaceous is TRUTTACOUS. Tretaceous.
There we go. Tretaceous, everyone.
Okay, so an excellent effort. We'll move on to the second word for Jan from the David Lam Library. And the word is prosopopoeia. Prosopopoeia. It's a noun defined as a figure of speech in which an imaginary or absent person is represented as speaking or acting. A classic example of the use of prosopopoeia is in the Bible when wisdom is personified and made to speak to the people. And it is Latin. Prosopopoeia.
They're really pulling out the tricky ones for this tiebreaker. Let's see what she can do.
Sudden death.
PROSOPOEIA.
And we have a winner. Prosopopoeia, Jan Wallace.
That was correct. Very well done.
I have a winner.
Challenging.
And the winner of today's spelling bee is Show Me the Honey. Jan, wait.
So they're going to present her here with the winner of the United Way Cup of Victory.
This is the Cup of Victory. And this will go to the Show Me the Honey group. Thank you all so much for participating. Oh, do you want the spelling up? My apologies. Prosopopoeia.
PROS.
So what I want to do now is just thank you all so much for participating in this day and for coming out and supporting the United Way. I also want to invite you and your teams to stay and get a photograph. We love to be able to take those and have a record of all of you great participants. And we look forward to you returning next year. Thank you very much.
All right, so we might talk to some of the competitors here at the Spelling Bee, the United Way and UBC Library Spelling Bee that just took place. But first, we'll go to a bit of a spelling song. It's going to be a classic by The Cure. It's called Fire in Cairo.
Slowly fade down blue the eastern hollows. Catch the dying sun, the nighttime follows. Silence and black, mirror pool. Mirrors are lonely place where I meet you.
Don't you put it in your mouth, don't you put it in your mouth. Don't you stuff it in your face, don't stuff it in your face. Though it might look good to eat, though it might look good to eat. And it might look good to taste, and it might look good to taste. You could get sick, ick, real quick, ick, real sick, real.
CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. Don't put it in your mouth, put it in your ear.
Don't you put it in your mouth.
This is Jonathan of the CITR Spellcasters, and I'm with Jenna of the CITR Spellcasters and Duncan of the CITR Spellcasters.
Hello, yeah. So we've just completed our first year as a part of the Spelling Bee here. It was a challenging year, you know. We were seated next to Show Me the Honey, so I think that's exciting that we were next to the winners.
Yeah. And I think it's the first time in a few years.
Oh, I think
years
we're being bumped
that,
for the winners right now. Oh. We were just doing a debrief, but now we're being kicked off the air so that the winners can come.
If they need the air, then by all means.
All right. We've got the winning team of the Spelling Bee here. I'll just get them to slide over to our table, and we'll ask them a couple of questions here.
So if you guys want to come around.
Okay, so we're live. We're on the air here with Show Me the Honey. Is that the name? And can you tell us where that name comes from?
It comes from the phrase "Show Me the Money" because we're with the Sauder School of Business.
Right, I get it. So, how does the business school get to be so good at spelling?
Well, we're also from the library as well.
Yes.
Right. We're also librarians.
Yes, that's right.
So, librarians take the win this year. That's no surprise, really. What did you find to be the most challenging word?
Most of the words in round five,
the final round.
The final round, they were all challenging. We never heard of them, so we just had to guess.
You obviously had some lucky guesses then.
Yes.
You? Good. But there were quite a few that you were familiar with, too?
Yes, lots, because we're all readers, and that's how you get to be a good speller, right? Reading a lot.
And playing a lot of Scrabble, right?
That's true, yes.
Good advice from the winning team here at the Spelling Bee. Do you think there was a lot of sneaky words in there? I thought a lot of sort of botanical words, medical words. What do you think about that? Is that fair game?
There were some sneaky words. All of our linguistic skills came into play. So some of us knew Latin, some of us knew
German,
some of us knew French. So Having a well-rounded team is key.
Great, great. Well, you did very well, I think, beating the CITR spellcasters by at least double the correctly spelled words. So well done, spellcasters.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Show me the honey. That's the winning team there. And we'll go back to the spellcasters.
So smug,
here.
Those people.
They were just lovely. Oh. Come on.
Just so full of themselves.
Let's be nice here. It's all for a good cause.
No, they were totally nice. They deserve every bit of that victory. That last word that they spelled, proposicia, was incredible.
Proposicia?
Yeah.
We're
pretty sure that we did that. There, you can't conjugate or you can't pluralize hors d'oeuvres with an S at the end unless you anglicize it.
That would have taken us up to seven.
I know. That would have taken us to seven. But fun year. Jonathan, you were a bit of a team leader. How did you feel about how things went today?
I feel I have to disagree with you there, Duncan. You were the team leader amongst us. I just had an abundance of spirit.
Dan, as also a key member of the team, what are your thoughts on how the CITR spellcasters did this year?
Well, I think we only got a quarter of our words right.
That's correct.
Yes. And it really seemed
That's true.
And Duncan, I can tell you the truth. I was just marking the amount of words that were correct before you took it away from me.
They were tabulating the results. I'm sorry I had to submit the form or we were going to be disqualified. I'm sorry, Dan. I'm sorry about that tension right at the end. We almost got through it with no major brouhahas, but...
And in
B-R-O-U-H-A-H-A.
Furrah was the word.
Round four,
we
got not correct.
Scenario.
You can even hear the letters that were pronounced in these... words here.
I think really the idea of a spelling bee, I mean, English, all languages are living languages, and to suggest that there is one singular spelling of any particular word is I can't agree with it.
Are we not custodians of the English language?
Neo-colonialism,
though?
That's what it is.
All
Duncan,
right.
That's what it is.
Okay. Jenna, any other thoughts?
I'm surprised the English team didn't win.
It's true. Well, they
do win quite a bit. I, as an English major, I can tell you I've been up to their tower many times, their offices, and they have pictures of their wins from past years.
Really?
So I feel
so smug
that it must have hit them hard to not have taken it back this year.
All right. Don't worry. Next year we'll get them.
Don't worry about that.
That's right. Next year we will get them. You've heard it here first. And thanks for tuning in to CITR 101.9 FM out here at UBC for the United Way UBC Library Spelling Bee. We're going to go back to the studio shortly. If you're over here at Barber, we're on the fourth floor at the Golden Jubilee Room. Come on up and say hi to the spellcasters. And we're going to go now to Duchess Says. Okay, and that was Duchess Says here on CITR 101.9. We're still broadcasting live from the Spelling Bee, and we've got one of the members of the runner-up team here, Shagufta Pasto. What was your team?
The Lexicons.
The Lexicons, and why did you choose that name?
I'm from the ceremonies office, and I think Lexicons has been our long-standing team name for our department, and it seems to have worked well for us in the past.
What does it mean?
A collection of words. Yeah.
Okay, so very fitting for the spelling bee here. And what kind of background do your teammates have? What do they all bring to the table?
Well, we had Herbert, who was from the English department, and that was who brought it, was competing for us in the final round. Mm-hmm. Everyone else is sort of a lover of words, a holder of dictionaries and that kind of thing. And so, yeah, just long-standing supporters of the event.
Great. Can you tell us a little bit more of the event? What is it meant to do?
So this is the fourth year that the event has been running. It's the one of the big events that the library does for the United Way campaign each year. The event is meant to bring awareness of the United Way campaign. So I, as well as working in the ceremonies office, I'm the United Way campaign coordinator. And help manage a campaign that supports United Way's three priorities and raises funds on campus throughout the fall months. And so this event is another way to bring community on campus and raise awareness that this campaign is actually happening at UBC.
Great. How long have we been doing the Spelling Bee?
For the past 4 years.
4 years.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So is it pretty stiff competition? Is there a lot of repeat teams?
I think so. This has been my first Spelling Bee as a speller. But there's definitely, as you enter the room, you can feel a lot of previous rivalries come up. People are looking at who else is in the room, who they've competed with in the past. You know, there was excitement this year because the previous champions were defeated. And so you can see that there's a lot of camaraderie and community as new teams join the tradition and old teams kind of fight to defend their turf.
Great, yeah. So what kind of things actually on campus is the United Way involved in? What's the connection to the campus?
So the United Way, it's a workplace campaign that's happened since the 70s. And so there is staff, faculty, and students donate throughout the fall months. This year our goal is $590,000. Last year we raised over $600,000. And so there's all those kind of just giving that people do. And then there's a series of events that happen across campus, from lost and found sales to donut sales to this afternoon we had a barbecue at education. Next week the VP students portfolio will start their campaign, starting with airplane competitions to Indian lunches. So there's all these events designed to build community on campus, get people outside of their department and job, and meeting other people across campus. And so it's the goal is to build community on campus and then to help strengthen communities outside, you know, across the Lower Mainland.
Great. Well, that's really awesome what you guys are doing. What did you think of the words today? Were they?
They were challenging. I was looking at the words and some of them I had never heard before. Some I had heard, but was a little confused how to spell. And so it was neat to discover new words and look them up. We were kind of writing down words at our table that we wanted to learn more about afterwards, but it was definitely a challenging afternoon.
Yes. Well, we were over here looking them up, cheating a little bit as they went, and we learned a lot. It was a very educational afternoon for sure. Some botanical words, medical words all over the place. Do you think all those kind of you know, Latin and Yiddish words, is that fair game, or is that kind of pushing it?
Well, I don't know. There were some words, the Chotskys, the Yiddish word.
Right.
I thought I've never heard that word, and it was interesting because people at our table knew it, but it definitely required some expertise, I think, with words, families and word histories. But it was interesting to realize that once you knew the root of a word, it kind of provided some insight on how the word could be spelt, and so that expertise at our table helped with that.
I definitely noticed that with the sudden death round at the end, where, you know, it was probably clear that the winner wasn't familiar with the word, but was familiar enough with the language and with the root that she made it happen somehow.
Yeah.
So, yes, it's fun, this spelling game. Well, hopefully we'll see you next year.
Yeah,
and,
thank you so much.
Yeah, good luck with all your events around campus. All right, we're going to go back to the studio shortly. First, we're going to check out a song called Phosphorescent Waves by Black Mountain off the Year Zero original motion picture soundtrack. You're listening to CITR 101.9, and I'm Sarah C., I'm the music director here at CITR. Thanks for tuning in today to the Spelling Bee.
And that was the 2013 UBC Library and United Way Spelling Bee. Sorry we couldn't get it, CITR Spellcasters, maybe next year. But a good a good event all in all, I'd say. If you would like to learn more about the United Way, who sponsored the event, you can go to unitedway.ubc.ca. That is unitedway.ubc.ca. And at 2, we'll have some more CITR programming for you. Until then, we're going to put on a playlist for you guys. And coming up first, we have Azuck's Heart Sutra.
Bust. draw the board, it's up on my heart, so I should train in the profound plush, now barometer, then the blessed one.
Bodhi Svara.